Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. We are so happy that you have joined us for part two of my trip to Switzerland. We hope that last week you learned some things. Maybe you're thinking of planning your own trip, or it's still a bucket list dream destination for you. And we hope that these episodes can help get you there.
And they absolutely will, because you guys had this planned to a T. It's very impressive. As you reminded us last week, in large part due to your husband, who did all of the legwork on the planning, and like you took the points and miles angle, which I just think is just the epitome of marriage teamwork right there.
I should say he's a scientist, so it all makes a little more sense when you understand that he's a scientist and research is in his wheelhouse.
Yes, it does make a lot of sense, but it's very nice. And this trip is just absolutely dream destination bucket list for a lot of people. And so we're back for part two so that they can finish up their – how many days were you there? Seven?
Yeah, I think we were there 7 full days, maybe 8. It's hard to remember.
Okay. Well, did that seem like a good amount of time? Like that you kind of saw everything you wanted to see. It wasn't too long, wasn't too short.
Well, I could have stayed there a lot longer. There are many things I still want to see. But I say, you know what? That just leaves the opportunity to go again, to dream again. Some places you do feel like, okay, I did everything I need to do. Check it off. There's really no reason to come back here. But with Switzerland, I could absolutely go back and have a completely different itinerary and spend a whole nother week. So for sure, a week is not enough time. But for our trip and for our getaway, it was a good amount of time. We were away from all three of our kids. It was a happy little time. I do not think my parents, my sweet parents who kept the kids, could have made it much longer. So it was the right amount of time for us.
That is amazing. All right. Well, let's just get straight into it. If anybody remembers where we left off last week, you had gone through Switzerland from Geneva. And last you mentioned you were in Lucerne. Did I pronounce that right?
That's correct.
Lucerne. So, okay, let's start with your accommodations there.
So this is really fun because we talk all the time about apps that you can save money on, earn points on, these little receipt apps. And you think, am I ever actually going to do anything with these points? Am I doing this for nothing? Is this silly? Well, for the very first time, I cashed in Fetch points, believe it or not, Fetch points from taking pictures of my grocery receipts. And I got Hotels.com gift cards with some Fetch points. And that is what I put towards our hotel in Lucerne. And it was called the Bed and Breakfast Lucerne. And it really was a bed and breakfast feel in a beautiful old house. Ugh. And it was so charming.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. So how many, just out of curiosity, how much dollar value did you get out of the Fetch points? How many gift cards did you get?
I think I used about $150 worth of gift cards.
Wow. That's a lot of Fetch points.
That's a lot of Fetch points. I mean, over time, but you just keep saving them up. And at some point, see what you can get out of them.
I just cashed in my very first $50. Everyone will be sad to know it was not for anything travel related. I've been buying a lot of books on Amazon lately. And I was like, oh, I could use this Amazon gift card. And the value is exactly the same. If you... Just a side tip, on Fetch, when you're trying to decide what to cash in for, Some gift cards require less points for the same dollar amount. So it is good to kind of go through and see which gift cards suit your needs the best. Because for me, I was able to get more out of an Amazon than if I had cashed the same amount of points in for like an Airbnb gift card. You got less dollar amount for more points with the Airbnb. So side note.
That's so fun. I love that you cashed it in though, because this is something that we do. This is not even a credit card sign up. This is nothing. Like, we literally just take pictures of receipts.
Yeah.
Things that we were already going to spend money on, just turn the receipt in and ultimately you get a prize for it. I love it.
I just got $70 from that Opportune app, the one with the gas and the groceries. Like, I no put way. It in my bank account. They don't even make you have a gift card. So I'm just saying, guys, don't sleep on the receipts. We'll link an episode where we talk about deal stacking. That's not what we're here for today. I'm sorry for this brief derailment. You used $150 worth of these fetch gift cards. You stayed at this super charming bed and breakfast. Tell us about Lucerne's most famous landmark.
So the bed and breakfast was walking distance. Now, it is a ways, maybe a mile, from an area of Lucerne known as the Old Town area. Now, we chose to ride a bus. We did not walk at that point. We had done a lot during the day. And in the evening, we went down to the Old Town area. We, unfortunately, as we mentioned in the previous episode, the weather was not fantastic while we were in Switzerland. It was less than ideal. And this happened to be the evening that it rained the most. A lot of times it was just a drizzle or maybe foggy. This was all out downpour evening. But we decided not to lose the opportunity. It wasn't like we were looking off a mountaintop. We were going around an Old Town area. So we felt like we can still do that with umbrellas and raincoats.
Yeah, it's kind of romantic. I like it. Little notebook moment in the rain there.
You know what? You're right. And on the theme of last week's episode, every good K-drama has an umbrella and rain scenes. So you're right. This was all part of the bigger plan. We'll go with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You had to have your rainy romantic day. Otherwise, would it even be an anniversary trip?
There you go. Know. So we wandered around Old Town area. We went on Chapel Bridge, which is from the 14th century, which is pretty Ooh. Incredible. Yeah, it really is a gorgeous area. And the Old Town area is not very big. So you can kind of make your way around. There's a very old wall that used to enclose the city that you can walk up on the top of. And there's some nice views there. So we made the rounds in the rain. However, eventually, we were pretty soaking wet and ready to do something else. And Jared looked on the app for the Swiss Travel Pass, or the website for it, and saw what are some options that are included. Because as we mentioned last week with the Swiss Travel Pass, you get free entrance into a lot of museums and activities. And so he found in Lucerne a fabulous gaming museum called Gamerama. In Lucerne, and he's a gamer. He always has been. He was a little Nintendo kid and has been a Nintendo person his whole life. Zelda, all that kind of stuff he loves. And so this museum had all the old classic things, like from when you were little, the original Nintendo Entertainment System. Did you have a Nintendo growing up when you were little?
We weren't allowed to play video games. And then when we were young teens, our dad showed up with an old Sega Genesis, which at that point was already like 10 years old. Like, it was old. And we had the Lion King Sega Genesis game and Echo the Dolphin Sega Genesis game. That was it. That was my entire video game experience. I am terrible at video games.
I'm not so good at them either. I did have Duck Hunt. I don't know if you had ever heard of that one when you were little. And like one other old school Nintendo game. But I grew up with a sister. I didn't have any brothers in the house. My dad wasn't into that kind of thing. So we weren't a big video game family. But we definitely, Jared was. He has always been a part of his life. So this museum was such a hidden gem. He loved it. It ended up, he loved all the visual of the Swiss mountains and all that. But to be such an unexpected thing that we didn't plan to find, he absolutely loved it. They have a gaming cafe where you can use, they have a library of games, over 600 games that you can sit in there, have a drink and a snack, and try any game you want before you buy it. They have some games for sale there, strategy board games, and you can just hang out there. It's just a super cool place to find.
What a fun thing to do on a rainy evening. And I just love the dichotomy of this like ancient 14th century town with all of this crazy old history. And then there's just a gaming museum. Just a little bit just less old history.
Drop it in there.
Totally normal. I just like it. I love it. I love that there is a little something for everyone. And that Swiss Travel Pass keeps coming through as a real game changer. And we did link that on the previous episode, you guys. We only are allowed a certain amount of things in the show notes. So I don't want to overpromise on the, you know, we'll link things again. If you don't see it on this episode, go check Switzerland Part 1. It's over there. So all right, let's move on then. You had this beautiful night. I'm assuming you went back to your bed and breakfast. Did you have dinner out before you did that?
We did, and we just found a random place. We were kind of hungry. It was a little bit late for places to be open. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, a lot of places close early. We were hoping actually to stop by one of the little supermarkets and grab food to go, a really cheap dinner.
Yeah.
They were all closed, but we ended up finding kind of a hole-in-the-wall place and got a quick meal, but nothing to really write home about.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to hit that in case there was a good restaurant before we moved on. Okay. So next morning, you guys take a boat, which sounds super fun, on Lake Lucerne. And then you rode the steepest cogwheel railway in the world up a mountain. First of all, what is a cogwheel railway?
Okay, not real, you know, my child was into trains when he was little, but I'm not an expert. Picture, if you can imagine a funicular train, we talked about the oldest funicular train last week in Europe.
We sure did.
So a train that goes up the side of the mountain, that's what it is. I don't know. It's steep. It's beautiful. It's actually a really nice train where the ceiling is all glass, where you can see out and the windows you can see out. So it's meant to just be absolutely stunning. And it is, as long as it's a clear day. So about half the trip was really stunning. And then it's so steep that you get up above the clouds sometimes, which is what happened to us. And half the trip was above the clouds. And so you lose some of the view, but it was gorgeous. There are two ways to get, this is up Mount Pilatus, and there are two ways to get up Mount Pilatus. You can come this way on the oldest cogwheel train, and I do recommend it. It's not cheap, but it's fabulous as long as you look at the webcam for the top of Mount Pilatus and see that there's going to be a view when you get to the top.
Very smart. We did link those mountain webcams as well.
Or you could come up the backside of Mount Pilatus, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So the reason that we did not switch our travel plans and we went up Mount Pilatus is because we actually were staying at a hotel on the top of Mount Pilatus, 7,000 feet high.
Oh my gosh. So you left your bed and breakfast and hopped on this steep train up to the top because you were staying up there?
Yes.
This is so romantic.
So the reason that we chose to stay up there, we have done this one other time. We did it in Canada when we stayed at Emerald Lake Lodge in Yoho National Park. And both Mount Pilatus and Emerald Lake Lodge, these are really popular tourist destinations. People come to the top of Mount Pilatus, they walk around, they see it. But then the trains stop running at a certain time of day, just like the access to Emerald Lake Lodge stops at a certain time of day. And if you are staying at the hotels that are right there, you get it all to yourself, basically. They're not big hotels, so it's not like thousands of people. It's only, you know, 100 people or less that you actually see. And so you're on the mountaintop with everyone gone, and you just get to soak it in peacefully without all the crowds.
Oh, it sounds amazing. And I'm betting that this one was a splurge. It sounds like a splurge.
It was a splurge. This this was a place where we earned points instead of redeeming points.
Uh-huh.
And it's a unique place because you're on the top of the mountain. There's nothing else there. So once you were up there in the evening, It's not like there's a bunch of restaurants. You eat at the hotel restaurant, and that is included in your hotel stay. So both dinner, a four-course meal dinner, and breakfast the next morning are included in the price of your hotel stay.
Okay. What I don't think we said the name of the hotel, so we definitely should say the name. And are you going to tell us how much it cost?
Hotel Bellevue? I'm going to call it Bellevue, B-E-L-L-E, Bellevue.
We have a street here named Bellevue, and that's how it's spelled.
Okay.
And how it's said. So I assume that's it. But who knows? There might be a Swiss spin on that that I am not aware of.
It's really beautiful. I do recommend it for a splurge. And it ended up being just ultra magical because, as I mentioned, when we rode the cogwheel train up, we got above the clouds, and then the top of Mount Pilatus was completely fogged in. We could not see anything. It was very depressing. We did this at the Grand Canyon once, too. We went to the Grand Canyon. It was completely fogged in. We saw nothing.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it stayed like that all afternoon and evening. We went and had dinner. We actually watched a movie in our room, which we never thought we would do, wasting time in Switzerland. But you could not see anything. You could not see basically your hand in front of your face. So my poor husband, he was so sad about it. We went and had dinner. It was a beautiful candlelight four-course meal, very lovely. And then we came out of dinner. And all of a sudden, as we're walking back to the room, we're like, what is that? I can see something. And the clouds were parting. And finally, the view started showing up just in time to watch sunset on top of the mountain.
Oh my gosh.
It was even more magical because we had waited so many hours and we weren't sure if we were going to get to see it at all.
Yes.
And that just made it so special. And then thankfully, we were able to watch the sunrise as well. That's one of the big things people do is watch the sunrise. So we woke up early. We climbed to the top of one of the trails that's right by. There's all these trails on the mountaintop that you can access when you're staying at the hotel. And we climbed to the top of the trail. And that's where we got some of the most beautiful pictures of our entire trip watching the sunrise, because you are like above the clouds. You're so high.
Oh my gosh.
It's like you are watching the sunrise from above the clouds, almost like you're in an airplane. It's crazy.
It sounds so magical. You still didn't tell us what it cost, though.
I know.
We can't get around this question. The people must know.
Okay, you're right. It is about $400 for the night, which is very expensive for me paying for a hotel. Now, remember, it included a four-course dinner for two. Had we had the exact same meal down in Lucerne or another city in Switzerland, it would have easily been a $200 meal between the two of us. You know, $150, $200. And it included a large buffet breakfast. You have all of the trails on top of the mountain that you can see. So when you really think about all that's included, it's not terrible.
No. And you never would have gotten to see the views because the times when the trains were running, it was cloudy, right? So even that cost alone just for the view and getting to stay there, I don't know, sounds pretty worth it.
We actually had a moment on top when we came out of dinner and the view was opening up. My husband, there was no one around that we could see. Because like I said, there's only the people staying there. So there's not a ton of people around. He started cheering out loud, like cheering, throwing his hands in the air. And then all of a sudden, there was another couple that were far off from us down in this, I don't know how to describe it, but kind of a tunnel through the mountain. But there was a cutout where they could see us, but we didn't see them immediately. And the man in that couple started cheering with him because he saw Jared cheering. And we had this moment of celebration with these strangers on top of the mountain because it had finally opened up for us.
Okay. Well, that is a core memory. That's so cute.
It really is. It really is.
I love it.
The next morning after the sunrise, we went on a hike before 8 a.m. We had watched the sunrise, had all these pictures, gone on this gorgeous ridge hike that follows just the ridge of the mountain. So it's not very difficult, but it's stunning. It's one of those great hikes that it's short. Every inch of it packs a punch of a beautiful view. And
love it.
So it's Totally worth it. Did all of that before breakfast and heading down out of Pilates.
Oh my gosh. What an experience. Okay, well, so you had an awesome breakfast there. Anything that you need to share that was particularly delicious or just regular breakfast?
It all was. It was a phenomenal buffet. It was definitely a top-notch buffet.
I love to hear about food, especially at hotels. I want to know what people eat. I need a podcast all by itself that only talks about the food in different locations.
I'm not a foodie, so I'm probably not the best one to describe, but there was definitely the influences of all the different countries, as we talked about before. You know, the French influence, there was delicious breads and pastries, and then there's some American food. It's like they have these different sections. There's definitely the kind of European section, which is some beans and that typical European breakfast, but then there was eggs and sausage and bacon that Americans like. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty well-rounded, the breakfast. There was some cheeses there, Swiss cheeses, you know, a nice little charcuterie board, all of that good stuff.
My kind of breakfast. That sounds amazing. Okay. On the way down from Mount Pilatus, you guys finally go to ride the longest alpine coaster in Switzerland. And I have to say that I've been on an alpine coaster before, but it's a little bit different in Helen, Georgia than it is in Switzerland. And also, it's short. The one I've been on is pretty short. I have seen videos of these long Swiss alpine coasters, and they are a little nerve-wracking. Did you guys ride one together or separately?
Separately. So they were separate. I thought it was going to be scary because it did seem like, uh-oh, this is going to be steep. Is this going to go really fast? Am I going to be able to control this?
What if I can't stop myself well enough? What if I mess it up and I crash at the end?
Right. So we did the Frankmundteg Toboggan Run, which is on the way down from Mount Pilatus, or if you had come up that back way, some people come up and stop there at Frankmundteg and there's a ropes course on the side of the mountain. There's the toboggan run. There's several activities that you can do there. There's a picnic shelter. There's a restaurant. So you can do several things there. That's a whole day's activity in itself. But the toboggan run, we thought we weren't going to be able to do it. We had hoped to do it actually the afternoon before, but everything was rainy and clouded in, and so it wasn't running. Mm. So we were thrilled to be able to sneak this in the next morning as we were leaving Pilatus. And it was really fun. I 100% recommend doing them. It did not go too fast. You were totally able to control the speed. We did learn that my husband should have gone first because he is a little speedier than I am.
He got stuck behind me.
He eventually got stuck behind me. They put a pretty good gap between you, but I could feel him about halfway down. I hear him coming and he's like, go, 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 speed up. So, you know, we learned. We only did it one time, but I would have loved to do it several more times. And it's definitely a fantastic family activity. If we go back with our children, definitely we'll be doing more toboggan runs.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Is it open? The one in Georgia goes down the side of a mountain through the woods. And I picture the ones in Switzerland being like open fields and flowers and stuff.
That's exactly what it was. It was more of an open field. There are wildflowers all around. In fact, once you get to the bottom, they hook you up to like a chairlift, but it just drags you back up to the top of the mountain. And we were going by all the wildflowers. And I was like, man, I love coming back up just as much as I enjoyed coming down, because you can really take in the view and all the flowers.
Please tell me you had your action camera hooked up to you somehow and that there's a video of this.
We did. That's a great question, though. And this is an important tip, because when we were going to Switzerland, our action camera was very new to us. Our Insta360 3X, it's a 360 degree action camera, which is great. But we weren't sure which accessories to buy. And so we ended up getting one that you can wear on a helmet, and then one that you can wear on your chest. Different ways to strap it to your body when you're doing activities. Mm-hmm. And for this activity, you were not allowed to have your cell phone. It said you could get in huge trouble if you had your cell phone out. So you can't record that way. And you weren't allowed to have it on your helmet. You had to, if you were going to use an action camera, it had to be on a chest mount on your body. And so we thankfully did have that. So my husband did it, which was really fun. Yes. I'll have to send you those videos. I don't think I've posted them on Instagram yet.
I have not seen them. Please send them to me. And also now everybody else wants to see them too. So you better just throw them up there. Okay, so while you were at Frankmuntig, you tried out a fun restaurant where you ate something new. Tell us about what that was.
Yeah, so this is a really fun story and a great place for a little shout out. I have a friend from college named John who has, fun fact, always worked for Hershey's for a long period of time. He's worked for Hershey's, the chocolate company. And when I was literally boarding the plane for Switzerland, he was texting me saying, "Hey, let's get together. I have something to tell you." And I said, "Oh my gosh, I would love to get together, but I'm quite literally boarding a plane right now to go to Switzerland. So I'll connect with you when I get back." And he said, "Well, actually, that is what I have to tell you. I have taken a job with Lindt Chocolate Company," which is based in Switzerland. And he was telling me all about his new job with Lindt. And so he's been to Switzerland a lot lately. He'll be going a lot more. So congrats to John on his new job with Lindt.
It's my favorite chocolate company.
Oh, girl.
Since I was little.
I got more to tell you.
Oh, my gosh.
You just wait. But he told me, he was like, "While you are in Switzerland, if you have the opportunity to try something called Rösti, R-O-S-T-I, you should take it. It's a food. Look for it when you're going around. It's more so, I think it's German. So typically in the more German areas of Switzerland, you may see it." This is how he described it. "We cannot wait for you to hear the rest of today's episode. But before we dive back in, we want to invite you to connect with us on Instagram. If you're enjoying the insights and travel tips we share here on the podcast, here's how you can stay even more connected with us.
First of all, follow us on our personal Instagram accounts for a glimpse into our daily lives and additional travel adventures. You can find Mary Ellen over at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4, and you can find me, Joe, at Points to Wonderland. Give us a follow and reach out to say hello and let us know if you found us from the podcast.
And of course, for all things podcast related, head over to our dedicated Instagram page at Wonderland on Points Podcast to stay updated on upcoming episodes, behind the scenes moments, and maybe even some exclusive content. Plus, if you're a visual learner, check out our YouTube channel with the same name. We plan on launching full video episodes in the near future, and we would love for you all to join us over there.
Your support on these platforms means the absolute world to us, and it's a fantastic way to be part of the growing Wonderland on Points community. So grab your phone, hit that follow button, and let's learn how to travel on points together. And now, back to the show.
I don't know if this will make sense to a Midwestern person. You're going to have to tell me.
Okay.
It definitely makes sense to a Southern, Southeastern person. And he said, it is like Waffle House hash browns. Have you ever been to a Waffle House, Joe?
I have been to a Waffle House. They do exist here, but I can't tell you what their hash browns are like. I've never had them.
Girl, Waffle House. I had Waffle House on speed dial in college. And I am still known to frequent a Waffle House to this day. That southern part of me is very ingrained.
I think they're all closed down here. I can't remember the last time I've seen one. So.
What a shame.
I know.
Well, they have hash browns, and some listeners will appreciate this. And so we thought, all right, I'm not a very adventurous eater. So I was so glad he told me this, because at that restaurant on Frankmuntig, they had Rösti. And I was like, this is the thing. This is the thing John says is like Waffle House hash browns. And so we got it. It was delicious. Ended up being Jared's favorite thing that we ate in our entire trip to Switzerland. So when you go there, guys, you have to give it a shot.
So is it like shredded potatoes that are crispy? Is it like, I don't know what.
Yeah, it's like a whole, almost like a really thick fat pancake of shredded potatoes that probably have been soaked in butter.
Oh,
ours,
yeah.
You can get different things on top. Ours had some sausages on top. It was amazing. It really sounds so good.
I'm really hungry right now. So that sounds absolutely incredible. And what a fun tip that you probably wouldn't have even thought twice about seeing that on the menu. I wouldn't think, unless you knew to look for it. So
no, it's true. I would have totally missed it, or not, you know, I would have looked for an option that I was more familiar with. So I was very glad we tried it.
Amazing. After Mount Pilatus and Frogmonteg, I don't know why I feel like I have to do a little accent every time I say that word. I'm so sorry. I'm so sure
that we are probably not saying it right.
So. That's what happens. If I go somewhere, it'll only be a few days before I have picked up an accent. My brain just likes to assimilate. So, okay. Anyways, moving on. After Mount Pilatus and Frogmonteg, you headed to Zurich for the final day of your trip, which is so sad. But tell us about your time in Zurich and what you loved there.
Oh my goodness. Well, this is when the Lindt chocolate comes back into play. Yes. They have a Lindt chocolate museum in Zurich now, and you can ride a boat there. So you get another boat cruise that is included in that Swiss travel pass because it's like public transportation, just like taking a bus. You can take a boat cruise, which we did, and we went to the Zurich Chocolate Museum, the home of chocolate. It was delicious. It is a museum where you get to sample the goods and you get to go home with all of these little Lindt truffles. It was absolutely delightful, and I highly recommend people check that out in Zurich.
Yes. Did the chocolate taste better than the Lindt here, or was it the same? Is it different? You know, because there's different ingredients rules, even for big companies like that. Typically in Europe, they have to use a different set of ingredients than the American version. So I don't know if Lindt is like that. I would like to think it's the same everywhere, but.
You know, for the sake of the podcast, I think I'm going to have to go to my local Lindt store and get some and try it. I think it's just the right thing to do.
It's simply science.
Science. My scientist husband should appreciate this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's for the greater good.
It's for the greater good. Absolutely. It was delicious. I know that. And when you're in there, they have, there's this one place where there's chocolate fountains, and there's a dark chocolate, a milk chocolate, and a white chocolate fountain. And they give you spoons, and you literally just spoon feed yourself chocolate from a fountain. It's delightful.
I cannot think of anything more delightful, actually, at this exact moment. So that sounds really nice. Definitely a highlight if I were there. Okay, so talking hotels in Zurich, this is where something we haven't heard you mention this entire trip comes into play, which is literally shocking because of how much we talk about this hotel chain. I'm sure everybody is saying it out loud right now because they all know exactly who we're talking about. You finally stayed in a Hyatt.
Finally stayed in a Hyatt. Listen, I would have stayed in more Hyatts had there been more Hyatts.
Right.
There are just not many chain hotels in the middle of Switzerland. You can probably find a chain in Geneva. You can probably find a chain in Zurich. But, you know, when you're in Interlaken and you're in these other areas, there's not a lot of chain hotel options. But in Zurich, there is. And you can stay at the Park Hyatt Zurich, which is very beautiful. We had a very, very, very early flight out. And so we stayed at the Hyatt at the Airport Circle, which is a Category 4 Hyatt. There is also at the Airport Circle a Category 5 Hyatt Regency, both in the exact same place. We were waking up so early in the morning to leave. I was not about to drop any more points than necessary.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, it was one of the most beautiful Hyatt Place hotels I've ever seen. It was beautiful. And when I say it's at the Airport Circle, it is walking distance to the airport. So we rode the train basically to the airport, and then the Hyatt Place is right there. And there's a path that you just walk right across, and boom, there's the airport. And so it makes, if you do have an early morning flight out, it makes it so easy.
Oh, that is so nice. This has nothing to do with that. But when we were in Orlando, there was a Hyatt Regency literally in the airport. We were standing in the security line. I look up and I'm like, what is this atrium that we're standing in? And then I see Hyatt Regency on the wall. I'm in security, and this right here is a hotel towering over my head. Those airport hotels, genius, genius. And when you can stay there on points, it's like total game changer.
In the hotel? I mean, in the airport? It might as well have been. Yeah. I mean, truly, they are connected. And there's signage that is very easy to find. I should note, remember, this is an international Hyatt Place. So this was actually the one hotel of our entire trip where we did not get free breakfast.
These non-free breakfast Hyatt Places are the death of me. It's just so silly. It should just be the same across the board. I'm looking at you, Niagara Falls. What are you doing? You are not international. You have no business withholding free breakfast. Whatever. It's fine. The kids are free at that place, by the way. Just adults are like $12. So ridiculous. Anyways, let's...
Yeah, I didn't sweat it because I knew we were flying business class home, which was exciting. And so on our very first flight, we did not fly direct home from Switzerland. We hopped over to Madrid and had a layover. And that, I love this about business class that I wasn't expecting. And we're going to have a whole episode on the flights. But even the short flights from Zurich to Madrid, which was, I think, less than 2 hours, they served me a full breakfast meal with an omelet, and it was delicious. I wasn't expecting that. I was thinking I can get food in the lounges in the airport, but they also gave me a full breakfast on a short little hopover plane, which I loved.
Yeah, that's amazing. I wouldn't have expected that either, so it's nice to know. And we will obviously dig into that much more in our business class episode coming up. So you flew home from Zurich through Madrid, and you did a little layover excursion? Yeah?
We did. When I originally booked our flight, we did not have as wide of a gap between our flights, as much of a layover. But at some point, they changed the flight times, and we ended up having about 7 hours in Madrid. And so I thought, you know what? I feel like that's just enough time. Should we leave the airport rather than staying there? Should we hop on public transportation? Is it possible to zip into Madrid, walk around for a couple hours, and see some of the main sights in Madrid? And we went for it. And I gotta say, I was very nervous about it. I learned a couple important things about Madrid. Number one, it is not as easy to get around as in Switzerland. That beautiful on-time trains and the app with all the timetables that we talked about, the SBB app in Switzerland, all that flies out the window in Spain. Things were not labeled well. It was much more difficult to get around, especially considering we had not done the extensive research that we did for Switzerland, because it was much more on the fly. Let's just do it.
Right. Well, still, you had a good time. You saw some things. Would you recommend Madrid? Because I always find amazing points redemptions, especially business class points redemptions to Madrid. So I'm like, do I want to go?
I do recommend it. It was such a busier and bigger city feeling than anything we saw in Switzerland. It gave us, and this seems crazy, but both my husband and I said it, almost like New York City vibes, in just that it was so big and so busy, but at the same time, it was all so old. The architecture was so gorgeous, but it was bustling and full of energy. So I enjoyed it. One of the other main reasons that we went is our son has gotten very into soccer, international soccer. He loves Real Madrid, which is one of the soccer clubs there. And so we decided, all right, we are going to, it's kind of hard to find youth Real Madrid jerseys online in the United States. And so we were like, what if our special souvenir for him, we're going to leave the airport, we're going to go into Madrid, we're going to find one of the stores where they sell these jerseys, and we're going to get him an authentic Real Madrid jersey. And so that's what we did. We found one. We got his favorite player's name put on it. And so that alone made it very special. But things were different. They did have a locker in the Madrid airport where we could leave our luggage, but it was very much more expensive than all the lockers that we used in Switzerland. All the lockers at train stations in Switzerland are pretty affordable. They really do not cost very much. The one in the airport in Madrid was very pricey, but I guess that's what you should expect from a big international airport.
Yeah, yeah, it makes sense, but also very good for people to be aware of. I think it's probably pretty common to go through Madrid, especially with the prices that I'm finding there all the time. So So you did an excursion. You made it back. Did you have any issues with the security on the way back in?
We didn't, but that's something we'll go into detail on our business class flight episode. But Madrid is fabulous if you are flying business class because they have VIP written on your ticket. There is a completely separate airline screening area for VIP business class flyers. And so we didn't go through the regular line. We walked straight through. There was not a single person in front of us to go back to security in Madrid. And then we got to go to the Iberia Premier Lounge. It was fantastic. We'll cover all that in a future episode, but it was wonderful. And I definitely do recommend, if between now and our next episode or the episode that we dig into business class flights, you're wondering about going to Switzerland and you're considering Air France or you're considering Iberia, those are the two we flew for our Switzerland trip, and both of them I would fly again. I think overall, if I think about the two experiences, Air France was a little more polished, probably overall the nicer flight experience, but I loved the business class lounge in Madrid, and I would 100% fly business class Iberia 2 without hesitation. So either one gives you a lie flat seat, which is going to help you be more relaxed and more rested to enjoy your adventures.
Yes.
And I would fly either airline again.
I'm excited to dig into those in a future episode. Is there anything that you want to leave us with as we're wrapping up? You're flying home. Any last minute thoughts? If anybody's planning this trip to Switzerland, anything they should know, anything they should keep in mind, any words of wisdom?
Keep in mind, Switzerland is a very expensive country. This is not going to be a points and miles trip where you can truly say, oh, almost every single dime was paid for on points. You have to get creative. We use the Amex Fine Hotels and Resorts program. We used our VentureX travel credit for a hotel. We use Fetch Points, cashed in for hotels.com gift cards for a portion of a hotel night. We used Hyatt Points finally for a hotel night, transferred from Chase. So we had to piece together and we had to be flexible. The weather is crazy. You have to be flexible in Switzerland. We try to make a lot of our meals cheaper because we're not big foodie people. We're not interested in dropping hundreds of dollars on big fancy meals. You have to pick and choose. Think about what is the most important thing to you. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to choose your splurges. Choose the areas that you think you can save money and choose the things that are really worth it. For me, paragliding was an absolute dream come true. Again, from last episode, you'll remember we stacked Viator savings through Rakuten and to get a little bit more money back on that. But that was a splurge that I absolutely would do again and hope to do again if we get to go to Switzerland or another European country. The Golden Pass train, that's a skip for me. So if I was recommending to people, choose to spend your money elsewhere. Really think through what is the most important things for you. What are the most important things for you? And then piece it together.
Yeah.
And it's going to be amazing. Just enjoy, soak it in. We had an hourly itinerary. I'm talking a spreadsheet by the hour. And I am working on typing up our full itinerary, and I will be posting that, sending that out to anybody who wants it. Make sure you join our Facebook group so you know when that is ready to go and I can email it to you. But even with our minute-by-minute itinerary, flexibility really pays off. And just enjoy your trip. If you don't, we didn't get to do Via Ferrata, but we got to do so many other things. So be flexible.
Yes, these are beautiful words of wisdom. And we are very excited to see if any of you kind of follow and take parts of this itinerary. So please, as she said, join us in our Facebook group. We want to hear from you. I've mentioned this in a previous episode, but it's the summer. Guys, we're not doing an amazing job staying up on all the things during the summer. There's just too many kids and too many things involved. But we see you. And I love that you guys support each other, even when we can't fully be on top of every single message every single time. We will be better, I think, once things return to the less chaotic school year. But one last final thing before we go. We've been getting so many ratings and reviews from you guys, and we love you and we appreciate you, and we'd like you to keep them coming. So it's been a couple weeks since I reminded everybody how you do that. If you are getting value out of these episodes, it's really easy to leave a rating and review on Apple specifically. You just scroll down to the bottom of the episode's list and you will see a space with 5 empty stars. Click the 5 stars. And if you'd love to write some words of encouragement as well, or some words to help other people decide whether or not this is a podcast for them, we love it. It means the world to us. Mary Ellen,
it's been a while since I did a review roundup. I should do a review roundup soon. Repost some of these fun reviews that we've gotten.
Yes, I think so. So make sure you keep your eyeballs on our Instagrams. And if a review is yours, let us know and we'll tag you in a story. We love you guys and we love the support and it means the world to us. And Mary Ellen, thank you for telling everybody about your beautiful trip and for putting it together in a way that can really help people take this trip if they want to. Like, this was really helpful.
I hope so. And I will come out with, like I said, a very detailed itinerary. I'm happy to answer questions and let anybody learn from our mistakes, such as don't rent e-bikes for 2 days in a row. That's a little bit of a callback to last episode as well. So reach out. We're happy to help.
Yes, 100%. And if you missed the first episode, you're going to want to go back and listen to part one because they definitely go together and there's so much in there. We love you guys and we will see you here next time.
See ya!
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us and we will see you here next time.